And 3, 2, 1. What's happening?
What's going on, man?
What's going on?
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to meet you guys. Happy to have you guys on finally.
Yeah, thank you.
So what is it that you guys do?
We're serial entrepreneurs.
Serial entrepreneurs.
Yeah, we have multiple businesses.
Hold on. Which John?
John.
And Laura.
Laura.
Okay. All right. Okay. Cool. So, serial entrepreneurs, and what else?
So we have multiple businesses. We have an investment group company called The Table Guys. We have a sales company, which is probably the biggest company that we have, called The Table Solutions. We have a restaurant now.
The one that's downtown?
Downtown Cleveland, called You Jerk.
Sir. You guys are disrespectful for how good that food is.
Yo, I appreciate it, man. You tried it?
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, my goodness. It was, you know what? I'm going there tonight.
That's just. We should have brought some pasta.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Look, it would have been great. I'm probably going to go there tonight, though.
I appreciate it. And Laura has her business.
Yes, I have my business called Lagisly. It's a 100% natural vegan hair product company.
Yeah, that's what we got.
Some new businesses
on the horizon.
Yeah.
So we're entrepreneurs. Yeah.
Man, you guys are. Is that tiring?
Very much so.
Not really.
Okay, so we got two different perspectives of it. One says not really. So who? All these different ideas were sparked by who? Okay, so y'all came together and one was like, "Hey, let's just get into work." And
yeah,
obviously
it was Laura.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm a chemist and I didn't want to get into pharmaceuticals because it's horrible. So I wanted to get into something holistic, but at the time it wasn't common. And I didn't really know how to like really get into it and then like thrive afterwards. So I just majored in chemistry, just became a chemist, and then I wanted to create my own hair products because a lot of the products on the field were not holistic, I guess you could say, or 100% holistic. So I wanted to create something that was, and John was the business behind my idea. So John is normally always the business, the business mind to catapult the ideas.
Interesting. Being a chemist, first of all, I hated chemistry. But the older I got, that stuff is very interesting.
Yeah. And
Especially when you watch Breaking Bad.
Yeah. So honestly, when
I didn't watch that. Is that on Netflix?
It is on Netflix.
I'm gonna tune in.
Yeah, it's a great show. But yeah, so in high school, I didn't like chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
But I did love science.
Okay.
So my mom, the best woman in the world, she really opened me and my brother up to different things. So one summer she had me go to a forensic forum, and it was like 2 weeks learning forensic science.
Okay.
With a group of kids, and we had hands-on, you know, everything. So it was like trying to solve a crime and
really
it was just really cool, like the way they set up. It was like almost like a camp in a way. So I wanted to be a forensic pathologist. So I had a really weird morbid stage of my life, and I wanted to cut up dead bodies. But when I got
That's
to college
not weird.
at all no of course not. When I got to college, I realized it was gonna take me a long time,
right?
And so I already started, like, you know, with, you know, biochemistry.
Okay.
But I really didn't like biology, and I want to blame my teachers for that, because it was more memorization than actually understanding and learning.
Yeah.
So I just dropped the bio and just was like, I'll just be full chemistry. And I wanted to do medicine because I really loved the idea of healing people. But then when I took a pharmaceutical class, I was just like, you guys are really not actually helping people. I got into hair because of my own hair woes. And that's how Lagisly got sparked. I started to love chemistry more because I had better teachers in college. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Being a chemist or into chemistry and stuff, what is, what is your thoughts concerning this COVID and the mutations of the virus and all of that and how this thing even started?
Well, I'm borderline conspiracy theorist.
Okay.
Thanks to my brother.
Nice.
But I do believe it's a real thing.
Yeah.
But I kind of equate it more so as like the first time the flu was introduced to a human being.
That's interesting because I was just thinking, I was having a conversation with somebody and we were talking about COVID. Now, yes, the symptoms and stuff are real. But to the degree of how our economy has been affected and more people have died by the flu than this, why is this such a pandemic?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess the conspiracy part of it is I just feel like there are other things, just like news media, right? There's something always trying to distract us from something else. Mm-hmm. And I think,
the president has COVID.
Yeah. Now, We'll see what becomes of it, though, about this whole big announcement.
Yeah.
I'm just really interested to see how this plays out in the end, because I just don't really, I don't know, I don't fully believe it's a pandemic. I don't remember exactly what type of disease happened, which could have been on the lines of a pandemic, but it happened in Africa. There was just this infectious disease that infected tons of people. A lot of people died, but it got no news, no media. I can't remember what it was, but I do remember seeing it briefly. And it's just interesting how this kind of like became the focus all over the world. And it just, to me, relates more to just a different form of a flu. Something that our bodies are not used to. Just like if you drink the water in Mexico, like they say, always say, don't drink the water, always do bottled water when you go to a different country. It's because there's just different things that where our bodies are not used to, and we just either have to adapt or just refrain from it, kind of thing. So that's just like where my logic goes.
Now, as far as business, how has this affected you, business wise, since this has started?
Yeah, it's definitely affected us, as it did the majority of the businesses across the world. But, one thing I always say is, you're either an entrepreneur or you're not, right? And
yeah,
the thing that entrepreneurs have to do, I think 2020 proves who's who, before the...
Showed the true the true character behind the smiles and cries,
really,
absolutely.
Really about... this entrepreneurial life, because the it's sexy online, to put CEO of something or entrepreneur or something. But, when you have to now pivot and you have to navigate and you have to, lose money and, fork up more money than what's coming in just to keep the business alive.
Yeah.
These are things that most people are not ready to do. But if you're a real entrepreneur, I believe this year you came out with a lot of strategies, a lot of different things that you can do to bring money to the table. So for us, for a couple of months, because people always ask us, how do we open up a restaurant
during this time?
And I was like, because we're salespeople, like we're salespeople.
And then downtown of all places.
And downtown, I was like, we know how to sell. So we feel like we have a great product and people still eat. I still ate all throughout the pandemic.
Yeah. That's so, first of all, you basically told me that I suck because I started a bowl, right? So I used to be a manager at Chipotle.
Okay.
Right before, this was years ago, but right before the pandemic, I made a post and I was like, man, I want some Chipotle. But I didn't feel like going there. I didn't feel like dealing with the people. So I went to a couple stores and ended up spending more money than I would have spent to just go buy a bowl. But I just, start making the bowl how I know how to make it. And but I did something different. I did chicken and shrimp, but I just did all the same ingredients that Chipotle uses. I posted it and everybody, not everybody. About 8 people were like, I want one. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll make one. No problem. It was almost like it went viral. Okay. 80 orders. after people were, you know, showing. I mean, my Cash App had more money in it one morning. I was like,
this is happening.
This is really happening. And then, you know, it's that went for a solid 3 to 4 weeks. And then COVID. And I ended up catching it, too, back in April. So I'm good, y'all. Y'all don't got to worry. You know?
You got it.
Oh, wow. Okay. We'll talk about that.
June, July?
No. Oh, yeah.
July.
What were your symptoms?
Oh, man. It was horrible.
Man. You're the first person. You're the first other guy outside of one. You know, rest in peace. He passed. You know, we worked at the same spot and we got at the same time, but he passed. But everybody else I talked to is I just lost my sense of smell, taste.
It wasn't that good.
It was not at all good. It was anyway. So, but yeah, that happened, and now everybody is like, "When are you bringing back the bowl? When are you bringing it back the bowl?" And I'm like,
"What do you? Would you have considered that like your business?" Or a hustle or something to put extra money in your pocket?
Funny thing is, it was all of that. Mm-hmm. It started off as the thoughts of it all start. Once it started off, okay, I'm just do this like on off days or whatever, put some money in my pocket. Then I was like, okay, this is kind of like a hustle, like a, mm-hmm. I'm gonna make this, you know,
every, extra money. Yeah,
yeah, extra. Then it was like, wait a minute. Now I need to look at the numbers because I'm constantly going, I mean, spending money at, you know, Sam's Club, BJ's, all these, you know, to get this stuff in bulk. So now it's like a business thing. And my brother, he's getting mad at me because I'm like, just charge $8 a bowl. You know, if they want shrimp, it's $9. If they want extra. And he was like, but where are you making the money and all that? So I was, that's why I was like, okay, this is really becoming a business because now people who are connected to me are wanting to help to make sure I'm not hurting myself and I'm not playing people. And at the end of the day, you know, it's you gotta keep track of your numbers, because if you're gonna do this and you start making a substantial amount of money doing this, taxes.
Yeah.
You gotta make sure, you know, and that's not me, mm-hmm. you know. So when I realize, okay, a team of this is starting to form, mm-hmm. then yeah. It's really becoming a business.
I mean, I don't think you should beat yourself up, because people still love it. So if you bring it back out, you know, it's going to pop. I think most businesses stopped or slowed down mm-hmm. during the pandemic. So if you're just, you know, getting off the ground right before, I mean, it's kind of, it is what it is. You know, the world did not expect this, you know, to happen.
Not at all.
In terms of this way, we went from having our greatest year that we've ever had in business last year to almost like needing PPP loans and stuff like that just to get through the 6 months, you know. So you know, that's one of those things that most businesses went through. But you know, if you get back in the race, you know, and get your stuff out there.
You know, it would be cool and it'd be fun, but when I do something, like, because I have a job mm-hmm. and stuff, if I do something, then I'm really, I need to take out the pros and cons, mm-hmm. okay? Because I'm guaranteed, and it's almost like a scarcity thing. It's like you said, this year is gonna prove it. Proved, you know, if you really want to be an entrepreneur, then the risk is not even the risk. It's almost like, you know, it's coming, mm-hmm. you know, however you're going to do it, it's going to be there. Gary Vee always talks about that, is an entrepreneur is a person who cannot work a job.
Right.
He just can't. He's going to figure out how to make money. And that's what he's going to do. So for me, with everything I'm trying to do even with the podcast, the podcast is like my baby. So it's I'm trying to make sure I have this guaranteed money in it, because I'm paying for all of this. Mm-hmm. So if I was to say, okay, now I'm going to take my off days and work on my, like, do a bowl or do something else, mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, okay.
Spreading yourself thin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, this is, I'm taking time trying to advertise with this. I'm taking time trying to come up with different content. You know, this is a job in and of itself, mm-hmm. but I love it. Mm-hmm. With the, and I don't be trusting a lot of people. So it's not even the having a team. I know what to do with this. With the bowl, it causes work. It's not just me working. I need helpers, and I'm sorry I don't have the money to pay you right now. Are you going to be willing to stick with me through that? You know what I'm saying? Have all these questions, and
you always have the money to pay them. So that's one of those things I always teach people in business when they tell me that. You know, they normally say they don't have the money to pay for the employees. Mm-hmm. But that's not true. Every sale that goes in, goes out of your business, there needs to be a number that's attached to employees. So this is why knowing your numbers in business is so crucial. Like a lot of people, they would, like perfect example, like you Jerk, we have the Rasta Pasta or the Dirt Chicken Sandwiches, all these different things. But
one of that's what I'm coming to get, that Jerk. I heard about that. I had the Rasta Pasta. I'm coming to try that Jerk Chicken Sandwich.
Yeah, Jerk Chicken Sandwich.
That's what I'm coming to get.
But the number one thing that I am constantly thinking about is the numbers.
Okay.
It's the number one pervading thought in my mind.
Yeah.
Where are our margins? You know, so if I'm selling, let's throw something, that water bottle right there.
Yeah.
And I'm selling that water bottle for $1. I started that water bottle company, and it's just me. I have to fill it up. I have to do all that stuff. But I know I have about 500 people that's going to buy this today.
Right.
$500 coming in. So I need to take whatever that is. Because what people don't realize is when you are selling, like when you're selling the bowl,
yeah.
Most people think that that money is their money. Like that's not your money.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? That's the business money.
Absolutely.
So whatever it costs for you to make it, that comes out automatically.
Right.
And then whatever amount of sales that you need. Now, if you're not getting enough sales, then of course it's going to be hard to pay.
Right.
But your job as a CEO is to make sure that you are cranking the sales of this thing. So you have that margin to say, all right, check it out. I'm going to, because, you know, I hate to have people do things for free.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because then,
right.
you know, now they overslept. Now,
right.
You know what I mean? Now it's just they're like,
So exactly.
Normally people say, oh, I want to help you out. All right, how much? You know,
exactly.
Like, what do you want?
Cause right.
When I start paying you, I'm expecting this to be done this way, you know. But knowing your numbers is how you would do that. But it's all in the sales of your product. It's never in the, you know, especially if you're doing like a like one of those like the bowls or
mm-hmm.
like it's, you know, you guys getting cash on hand.
Yeah.
So
Cash App, cash on hand. I mean, it was more Cash App because of how stretched thin we were. Mm-hmm. And so people had to place an order the day before because I needed to know how many orders I was doing because I cook everything in the morning, get up early, and then be out delivering, mm-hmm. you know. Or it was getting to a point where I was like, okay, we have to factor in gas because there's so many orders. So we need to have a place where people can come pick them up. But then it's like, how long are we going to be there? Everybody doesn't go on lunch at the same time. It was so many different factors, and it was like,
thing about it.
Man,
you said you got 80 sales in a day, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So 80 sales times 8. I was doing the math just now. $640 came in. Let's say half of that is to cover the expenses.
Yeah.
$320.
Yeah.
That $320 is what you will use to determine what's yours out of it and what you're paying somebody. So you could literally say, okay, I'm gonna take $100 out of this
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna pay somebody to make all these today as I now go try to figure out how to turn 80 to 100.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's how it's like, you gotta.
Yeah. When we, it was 80. We couldn't even do it all. I didn't have enough food. So I was returning money, you know, refunding money like crazy, which was crappy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm sending back hundreds of dollars but I didn't want nobody to feel slighted. But It was a great rush.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a good problem right
there. It was a great rush. But it was just, it was one of those things where it's just like, if you keep this up, you know, do you have the, at that, I was thinking, do I have the mental capacity to even do this? Because I'm not, I mean, what you just did right there probably would took me like a shift. I'd have been, but it was cool because I just had the vision for it. It's like, this is exactly what we need to do. This is how we need to move forward. However, y'all gonna make this work, let's make it work. Come back to me with whatever I got to do, and that's what I'll do. That's where I'm at. But then, like I said, the putting people in place to do that sometimes for me is a little hard because it's I don't want nobody to, you know, do something where now we got problems.
Yeah,
you know,
that's why you gotta pay. That's why you gotta pay.
That's interesting.
The paying is what makes. I'm telling you, people will come to me and say, hey, John, you know, I would love to do this for free. And I'll tell them, no.
Absolutely not.
No, what's the price?
Absolutely not.
Give me a price, because if I'm expecting it, I'm going to get frustrated if I don't get it. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So I'd rather pay it. So now the pressure's on you now to produce what you are telling me that you're going to produce.
Somebody was telling me a couple days ago, he was getting his car worked on. And he paid the guy to work on the car, but then after he was done working on it, there was something else that still needed to be done. The guy says, oh, well, I'll just do it for free. And so he does it, but then has to leave, so he doesn't get his money. But then he calls him later on and just is like, so are you gonna pay me, you know, for what he did? And so the guy's like, I thought you said you were gonna do it for free. And he was like, oh, you thought I was serious? And he's like, bro.
He probably was serious, though.
He probably was.
He was serious today. He didn't realize how much work this was.
Right. It was crazy. It was like, how? Yeah, if somebody say they're going to do something for free, very rarely would I even entertain that. You don't know people's agendas these days.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's called U-Jerk.
U-Jerk.
Where'd that? So how long have you guys? How long do you cook?
Well, no. So a lot of the recipes is my brother.
Okay.
My brother's a silent partner in the company. He delivers food and juice in New York City. I worked with him for a couple of years back. So I knew how the food was. I knew the reactions. I knew the demographics. You know what I mean? I knew exactly the response because we sold this every day, you know? And when we came to Cleveland, you know, one thing, we live downtown, so we just felt like
there y'all was live downtown?
Yeah.
Where? No, you know what? That's off of this. I want to live downtown. Yeah. I just love.
Shit, you can move into our apartment, building. We move
it. I'll pack it all up right now. Yeah. We be on the way. Yeah, man. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Yes. But
so we felt like Caribbean was missing downtown.
Okay.
But we didn't want to bring a traditional Jamaican spot. Rice and peas, oxtails, all that stuff like that. That's what people are used to, you know?
Lorianne was telling me something, right? So I just caught it. I'm so glad she told me because I know it's for real. She was like, if you hear anybody say rice and beans,
yeah,
that's not Jamaican.
No, no, no.
Rice and peas.
Yeah.
I was like, interesting. All right.
Anything outside of rice and peas is not Jamaican.
Okay.
Peas and rice and all that. No, that's not
Jamaican.
Yeah, rice and peas is Jamaican.
That's what's up.
So then, you know, I called my brother. My brother, I told him I wanted to do it, and I want him to give us the whole everything on how to make everything.
Nice.
Laura came up with the jerk falafel idea. My brother told me to add the Rasta pasta, which is like a big hit. And he came up with the name also. We were actually originally going to call it Jerks. Mm-hmm. That was the name that was planted in my head, Jerks, for years. And then he just called me and was like, what about you, Jerk? And I was like, you Jerk? He said, yeah, it's like, you Jerk. And the people could play around with that. And he was just like selling it on the phone. And I was just there like,
Okay. You jerk.
I was like, let me think about it. Then I started like telling like everybody, like, hey, you know, what do you guys feel about You Jerk? Oh, I love it. Next person, oh, something to do. Like, all right, let me think about this name a little bit more. And then the more I kept saying it, the more I was like, yeah, this is pretty dope. We can do some stuff with this. So yeah.
And how long has it been open?
In 2 weeks, it'll be 3 months, right?
Yeah.
Sales are good.
Yeah.
That's so interesting to hear. You know, we have stores, restaurants, buildings for days, but to hear people who are now owners of this talk about the beginning stages, you know what I'm saying? That's what I think people are missing. Yep. Because what starts off as an idea, you commit to the idea. Yeah. Do you commit to the process? Do you commit to the, even when something goes bad? I actually just did a podcast with a good friend of mine. He owns a wine company. If you guys are into wines, let me know. He owns a wine company called Lamont Ave.
Is it him and his wife?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
His girl helps him do a lot of things.
Okay.
But no, it's him. And he was just talking about some of the things and some of the losses he's taken, some of the times where he had to sit down for months at a time on product because he had to get permits, he had to get licensing, he had to get all these things together that, you know, he got the product first and didn't get the business together. And so that it caused him to, you know, now money is sitting instead of, you know, going out. And it's good to see. He's like 27, 28 years old. So it's good to see him realizing the, you know, what it takes at a younger age. But to hear it, even for me or any other business owner or somebody who's looking to do that, well, you got to know what you're getting into. And you got to be okay with understanding that, especially in some of the beginning stages, it's possible that you're going to take more losses than wins.
Absolutely. The loss is a part of the journey. And one thing I like that you said that just triggered in my mind was commit, you know, and commit to the idea, I think you said.
Yeah, we'll commit to the idea, and commitment is great. It's all good. That moment where the commitment is now taking place in a time where it's not looking like it looked when you made the commitment. When you made the commitment, it was good. You made the commitment, it was great. Everything was, you know, making sense. Now you're hitting a wall. And it's not just drywall. It's some cement behind that. And you still got to figure out a way to plow through. That's where the commitment is. That's what the commitment meant when you made it. You know what I'm saying? That's where it took place. And I think it's a lot. We live in this time where, like you said, entrepreneurs are sexy on IG and on YouTube and all that. It looks good because people are looking at day 100 and comparing it to their day one. And they didn't take into account day 50.
Yeah, exactly.
Day 50 is the breaking point.
Right.
Are you actually going to get to day 100?
Yeah,
and if you don't, you know, a lot of times you just got to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Like even for me, that's why I said to hear what you're doing and realizing this looked great. At what point in time I was doing this, I got to day 50 and was like, well, that's it. Doesn't hang it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But what I'm proud about is like with this day one, commitment was actually doing this on my phone, and it sucked. And I was like, I don't like doing that. It's weird. I don't like just talking to my phone. What am I gonna do?
We doing our podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we just press that record button.
Uh huh. And y'all just talk.
Like,
just talk.
Yeah, we have to make sure we're in the room or something
do
like
that. One take. We don't like to edit. We don't want to edit nothing.
No edits.
So I don't. I don't. I don't edit. The only thing I do is try to get it a little mastered. Like you see the setting we're in. So you know we'll hear some of the outside stuff. And I'll do the best of my abilities of doing that. But then there's another part of me that also embraces that. So then when everything is put together, you go back and be like, it wasn't all glitter and gold. I promise you that. The idea of this was exactly where we're at now. So now it's like, okay, I've got to day 50.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, I don't know if you guys know, if you guys do podcasts, the statistics of it is people who don't make it to episode 7, they don't go any further. Mm-hmm. When I made it to episode 7, I was like,
I think we made it to episode 20.
Then we stopped.
Okay.
We had one bigger argument, and then
I'm gonna have to listen to that one. But,
no, it wasn't on. It wasn't. Oh. I mean, there was one of the episodes that you could tell that we were like tense, and then we talked about it the following episode.
Yeah.
But
people were like, "Oh no, we didn't know that y'all had an argument right before."
Yeah, it was like the big old argument. Right.
That's
but, not, but yeah, but I mean, we've been trying to get back on it. We've been trying to get back on our podcast.
What's the name of the podcast?
A Couple of Bucks.
Y'all be having some names, boy. A Couple of Bucks. Go ahead. All
right. Yeah. But it's just like right now, like, we just so slammed with time, like, to an extent.
Yeah, we could do it. We're just not committed.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. We just not really super committed to it. But yeah, but we have to be. Yeah, we have to be for the people.
See, having an intervention
right now. I'm loving it. I'm like, go ahead.
Yeah, we're gonna start another podcast too.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, I was thinking about starting another one, and it's I really want to talk to you because it's really based about conspiracies, or not even conspiracies, just thoughts that people be like. I'm weird sometimes. I like what people will pose as a funny question. I'll be for real. I'll be like, oh, is the fish underwater actually wet? Okay. Yeah. You know, because when you pull it out, how you know it's wet? Because the water's dripping off of it. But when it's underwater.
How do you know?
Yeah, exactly. We might have to come together and have a co-host or something. I'll be for it.
Good question.
Okay.
We like, could listen, do it. Like, you gotta think about it. Like, you're not really thinking about it. That's why.
Think hard about it. Have something to drink and think hard. Okay, I got you.
Right.
I think that'll be dope. So, other businesses outside of U-Jerk, I am going. So, let me know when y'all go. I'll meet y'all up there. Something. Or do y'all even go in there?
There today.
U-Jerk.
I'm gonna swing by just.
I was thinking about getting some Rasta pasta today. I gotta let my food.
Actually, you just text us when you're on the way.
I'll do that. Yeah. I'll do it.
Cause we literally just walk over.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's dope. I want to see the place. Yeah. Do y'all had a view? Is it a view?
The one that we're in now.
Uh huh.
No, well, patio. So we have a nice patio. The one that we're moving to has a crazy view.
What? I can't wait.
Amazing view. View of the water, view of Euclid Avenue going all the way down. It's the newest apartment building in downtown. All
right.
But the one we had is pretty cool too.
I want to see both.
It's up for blocks for anybody. That
if you want an apartment, sublease.
Yeah. Sublease. We might have to scratch some numbers.
Yeah.
See what's going on.
This could be the business podcast spot.
Hey, listen, I'm for it. I actually, that's kind of like, because before I came here, I was looking for office space, and everything I was seeing was like not in price range where this is still on the come up. So I'm still taking a lot of money to make sure I'm doing this. And then, like I said, I want to make sure I'm consistent. So I think we're at 10. Episodes right now. Nice. I'll probably try to do that after like episode 50. I think I'll be like, okay, this is more consistent. I mean, it's consistent every Tuesday. We're coming out, you know. I'm coming out. I preset it to, you know, come. So even if I'm at work, it's coming up, and the feedback is great. The people are some people started even, you know, donating, so that's awesome. But I still want to get it to that place where it's now, if anything, this can take care of itself. So like I said, I was looking for office space, and I was like, I'm not really feeling those numbers. Maybe if it was like 300, I'd be like, I can swing that, you know. But that would definitely, you know, see if they give me this raise at my job, then we'll make that happen. Yeah. Stay here for the, you know, podcast and stuff. That'll be dope. So you got your other businesses, and and what are those?
So the Table Solutions, that's a sales company. That's our biggest company. That's the company actually that fuels everything. That's the company that gave us all the investment money for UJerk, and we started another company, advertising company now. But the Table Solutions, that's where we have all of our managers and the workers. And stuff.
Nice.
Like so we pretty much do sales for companies.
Sales for companies?
Yeah.
Advertising?
No, no, no. We're starting an advertising company, but no, this is straight cold sales. Like, they contract through us.
Okay.
We do their sales.
Interesting. What got you into doing that?
2005, I bumped up on the first millionaire I've ever met.
You said what?
The first millionaire that I've ever met.
That's what I thought you said.
Yeah.
For some reason, I heard in 2005, I bumped up and got my first million. I was like,
that'd have been a good story too.
Okay. I was about to be like, well, now we're talking good stuff right here.
Yeah, nah. He taught me the game. He taught me everything.
Okay.
We became independent 2012 when we came here. We branded the company Table Solutions.
And you guys were based out of New York?
Yeah, based out of New York. Yeah. Branded it to Table Solutions 2016, 17. One of those 16. Years. I mean, you know, I'm still learning. We're still growing, but it's doing very well. You know, it's doing, that's the bread and butter right there. You know, we have two offices downtown. So it's doing pretty good.
What's a day like?
What's a day?
What is a day like?
Oh, man. In the office, 8 o'clock, meetings until 10:30. Catching up on emails from 10:30 to 11, 11 o'clock, doing interviews from 11 to like 12:30. And then from 12:30, based on the day. So if it's Thursdays and Fridays, it's payroll days. If it's Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, I'm probably doing emails and UJerk stuff and pretty much anything that needs to be done for the business.
Goals,
strategy. Like, we have two new clients that I need to really hunker down on. I just haven't had the time, but this week is all about that.
Okay.
So it's just, it's nonstop. And then, of course, you got to go home and, you know, be a husband, you know. And
she like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. But, you know, even at home I do work and meetings and stuff like that. I mean, that's just the life that I live. You know, I told Laura in the beginning that's, you know, one of the things I used to tell her, like, if you compare me to your friends' husbands, you're going to be disappointed. Like, because I'm not the normal 9-to-5 guy, you know?
No.
And
it's so sad that we see a whole bunch of relationships that are now compromised, not because of an internal problem, but because of an external problem. Mm-hmm. And they are wishing that their lives looked like something else.
Yeah.
But they got goal here.
Yeah.
They missing it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's most relationships in the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really know what you're signing up for, really. I mean, it's hard for people to really know what they're signing up for when they get into relationships. I mean, because you don't know the challenges, the hurdles. You don't know the bruises, you know what I mean? The ups and downs, you know. So I feel like it's constantly trying to, constantly trying to work on, you know, what we are, like who we are, you know? And the greatest thing to frustration is expectation. Pastor Vernon says to lower expectations in marriage. He said that's the only place to lower it is in marriage.
Wait a minute. Lower what?
Expectations.
In church or in marriage?
In marriage, he said.
Pastor Vernon said that.
Yeah. He said that's the only place you should lower expectations. Nothing else. Because you said you're going to be expecting something that they might not be able to deliver, and then now you're frustrated with them because of
level of expectation. If communication is one of the focal points of a relationship, why would you not expect something that you've communicated?
There's stuff that we both expect on each other that we don't.
And see, I think that becomes the problem, is now we're expecting something that we never communicated because we're stuck in our own mind. So I'm going to expect, I expect you, I like your chain. I expect y'all to look like the image of CEOs, whatever my opinion or my thought process is. But I never communicated that with you. How am I supposed to expect you to live up to that? Even I don't know why you would even care if what mine is, but let's just say you did. How would you know that if I never communicated that with you?
I think communication is key. You have to communicate the expectations. But I feel like sometimes, this is just my personal opinion, that the expectations that you had in the beginning of the marriage.
Okay. So is it the expectations of what marriage is, or the expectation of your spouse? Because my expectation of marriage could be totally different, but my expectation of you could be solely on what I expect you to do from my perception.
It gets a little tricky sometimes. I think it's more so on how that person is evolving as a person, mm-hmm. and evolving as a person being married. And I think that's where sometimes lowering those expectations becomes, I don't necessarily want to say a priority, but it becomes a focal because you're not necessarily, you don't want to dictate, like, you know, I communicated this to you because, and I see you as an apple, but now I'm starting to see like a couple lumps. I'm starting to see like something shift and change a little bit. So now you're kind of looking more like a pear, but I see you as an apple. So I think when you just kind of put that person in that box, then they can't also grow and become.
I hate their car.
And evolve and be also like who they are also meant to be, because you're trying to like keep this shape, this one shape that you see them as. And I think that's where like a lot of times it becomes like a tug of war, because it's like, oh, I saw you as this and you're supposed to stay this way. But it's like people don't necessarily
people don't expect the change they hope for.
That too.
You know what I'm saying? Right. It's one of those, we want to grow. We want to come into this thing. I think it's dope that you told her, you know, if you're expecting a 9-to-5 kind of guy, come home, go to work, come home, drink a beer, chill. I'm telling you right now, that's not going to be what it is. Mm-hmm. But then you have a guy, or you may have a situation where that's the guy you met, and he comes into this new way of thinking, and he's like, okay, this is clearly not what I want to do. It's good to have a job. No shade to anybody who has a job, but if you want to now become this person, like for me, I work a job, I have great benefits, I get paid decent, but I'd rather talk to people all day, full time, you know, take care of my baby girl, and live my life, you know, live how I want to live. I love to have meetings. I'd love to fly across the country and get paid to do all of that. And so I understand that after work, sometimes there's some things I got to do. I have to, on my off days, I have to plan. I have to stay up on things that I want to talk about. I have to increase my learning too, because I'm willing to have conversations about chemistry that I have nothing to do with. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm figure it out. But this is what I want to do. And so if somebody met me at a place where I was working, and now I'm coming into this new foundation of wanting to increase myself or advance myself, I think that becomes a problem in a lot of situations, because it's not the person you met. However, you want the lifestyle it affords.
Well, I think that's where a compromise also comes. The level of compromise that you're willing to give up for the sake of that. So like for me, and for instance, like I don't think it was a big sacrifice for me to really understand the vision. Because I married John for his vision, right? Mm. And I didn't really, even though I didn't know what that would all entail, I knew that him not being home, even though there was still some like tug of war, I still got it. Like, I still got it more than I feel like a lot of other women would have gotten it, like, in a relationship.
Did you have your own? But I think that's great to say you married him for his vision. What about you? Were there things that you wanted to accomplish that in marrying him you saw you would maybe have to take a back seat to?
Right. So, logically, I had to take a back seat to that for a few years.
How long y'all been married?
7.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a number of completion.
Monday.
Good job.
Thanks. But yeah, so yeah, I had to like not completely stop. I still had my shop open. I was still getting, you know, orders here and there with Logisly, but I did have to take a back seat because I understood that what he's building was gonna fuel everything else.
Okay.
And so I knew I had to sacrifice, and yeah, you know, we fought a little bit about it, but I still understood and I was still down with what we were doing at the time and what we were building.
Having a vision for it. You married him for his vision and you saw yourself in that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's dope. Why we're still together.
That's dope. That's that Bonnie and Clyde right there. That's what's up, man. What y'all got planned? What's next? What's coming up next?
Well, like I said, we have the advertising company, which I'm excited, J-Lux Advertising. We're going to be probably launching that in the December, January time period.
Okay.
So that's going to bring a whole new element to our business. Logisly is, you know, starting to grow and get, you know, she's doing a lot more sales. She actually did very good this year during the quarantine. We're just going to continue blowing you jerk up, you know.
I'm going to blow it up with y'all. Listen, if you guys are in the Cleveland area, we actually got some people in Singapore listening.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So if y'all come to Cleveland.
Come to Cleveland, downtown
but,
Cleveland.
So it's downtown Cleveland.
850 Euclid Avenue.
850 Euclid Avenue.
The corner of 9th and Euclid. Prime real estate, guys. Come on. Like, this is like...
Big old, you know, orange sign.
Holla at your boy, man.
Okay.
Big old orange sign. You know, you can't miss us. We're outside a lot of times handing out flyers.
Okay.
We got the best jerk chicken in Cleveland. It's only right.
I'm going to have to... you put it on a... Yeah. I'm going to have to definitely come. Like I said, I had the Rasta Pasta. Amazing.
Yeah,
I love it. Okay.
We be looking forward to Rasta Pasta. We be like... Oh,
it's so good. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. It's not you know how stuff can just be spicy. That's got taste to it. And that's what I like about it. The pasta is mwah. You know what I'm saying? There it is, you know. That's what's up, man. So you guys still do things in New York? Or
not as much now.
Okay.
Why
Cleveland? Looking.
The client actually wanted us to do sales in Ohio, and we came here to Cleveland to kind of drum up sales. We never planned to stay.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be like no more than a year. Drum up sales here, and we found out that the cost of living is cheaper. I mean, downtown, very cheaper. Yeah,
very.
And we were just about to get married. So we just felt like, and Pastor Vernon, Word Church, it was a lot of things. Downtown, the food, town hall,
the people.
It was like, this is great. Let's move. You know what I mean? And we literally
figure, you know, you're not missing out on the weather. The weather's the same. You still get every season in 2 months. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a little cold over here.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah, especially downtown. Yeah. So
but. I can imagine. I work downtown.
Okay.
So it's. Like I said, man, I had wanted to live.
Street?
Huh?
What street?
That I work on? West 3rd.
Okay, so you're by the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, the wind. That wind off that
water. It'll smack you.
Yeah, smack you.
It'll smack you.
Yeah, so I'm not used to that. And the first year that we came to Cleveland, the weather was just...
Oh, it was
It was the worst Cleveland has ever experienced.
Really?
It was negative 16 degrees.
Snowing
like crazy. So we were like, what the hell are we doing? We in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we went to Cali for about a year to open up the office over there.
Y'all got an office in Cali?
Yeah, now actually, that was one of the offers that we just gave, got rid of. I had to make a tough decision during this coronavirus to close down. We still do have workers out there, though. But
how often are you traveling?
I mean, now this year?
Not that much. Yeah.
I mean, last year I was on a plane every week or every other week, at least. Other week I was on a plane. Yeah. Last year was just nothing but flying around. Which is fun, you know. I mean, I just feel like I was like, you know, just a rock star, just going to, you know, like
once again. You know, like, he's like, yeah, it was like a rock star. She's like, mm-hmm. Wow, yeah,
she came to a lot of places. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah. We love Cleveland, though. All right. We love Cleveland. Plan to be here for a while. You know, Laura wants to get a house out here, so.
So, you want to get a house. Mm-hmm. Y'all would rather get a house than live in a penthouse suite?
I would live in a penthouse suite. Laura wants a house.
And the reason, I want land, I want horses, I want animals, I want...
She wants a place for Lagisley.
Yeah, I want like a greenhouse where I can grow my
own. And what is Lagisley?
It's a hair product company.
Okay.
Yeah. So I want to be able to grow my own herbs, you know, cultivate my own ingredients. So that's why I want land. Yeah. And land is just something that I've always just been... I always feel like we need, especially as Black people, right? Mm-hmm. My mom has inherited a lot of land and houses, and so has my dad. And so that's just something I always looked at, like, yeah, I want my own big chunk of space that I could do whatever I want to do on.
And
yeah.
I always looking over at water. You know,
That's where I'm at, man. I'm for the views.
Like Laura, she wants a house, but Laura's the type of person that, like, if the light bulb go out, she's calling the work order for them to fix it. You know what I mean? Like, she loves the lifestyle of an apartment.
Yeah, I do.
But you know,
I'm for the views, man.
It's all about the views.
So I would love to live at the 9, on like the 17th floor.
We were going up. So
I had a buddy who lived there.
So I went to the 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a big tour of the 9, and I told Laura, I was like, we're moving to the 9, regardless. So when this is up, we move to 9. And then we saw the Lumen, which is where we're moving now.
Okay.
Which is this new spot, because our friends from New York, they came and moved there. And as soon as we walked in, I'm looking around like, what is this? I was like, yo, forget the 9.
How do I, so here, this is what I'm trying to do. How do I... Do you have to provide any kind of paperwork to get a tour or anything? Because I would love to just I'd be trying the goals type stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like I want to go there just to look, get you know, get my I had a friend who was in multi-level marketing. The money he's making now is ridiculous, and but at that time he was only making small $17,000 a month, you know, nothing.
Something
like that. And I was on FaceTime with somebody who was with him, and they were like, yeah, so this is his $4,000 apartment. I was like, excuse me? Yeah, just showing me around. And I'm like, that's some goals right there.
Is it Cleveland?
Yeah.
At the 9?
Now he was. He lives at, he's down in Cracker Park now.
Okay.
But now he's about to move to some spot in some place in Beechwood.
Yeah, the one that we're going to.
And he drives
has to be one of the most expensive ones downtown.
It's yeah.
Way more expensive than the 9.
Really?
Yeah. But it looks way better than 9 too.
I'm coming over.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm coming over. Windows, it's beautiful.
And you might have to try and figure out how to get me to leave. Okay. I'm coming. You know, I'm coming. That's what's up. Listen, I'm interested in all of that because it's, you know, that's the kind of stuff I like. Not to just try to be some kind of expensive kind of guy or anything. I just like the lifestyle. Living, you know, where I work. Mm-hmm. We have some, you know, there's high floors. So when you look outside, you're seeing, and I work at night, so you're seeing the city, you know, with the lights, and then you're looking over the water and all these things. I'm like, man, this is a, I hate where I'm at looking at it, but this is a view. And to, you know, to wake up in the mornings or before night to, you know, when it's nice outside, sit out there and just, you know, listen. And that's what I be for, man. Yeah, it's a great feeling. Then I love the busyness because you just never know who you're going to run into.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And because of what I do, it's like, I'm that guy. I see you driving a G-Wagon AMG. I'm going to ask you, what do you do?
Yeah.
And then if it's good enough and you're interesting enough, I'm going to be like, well, do you mind?
Right.
Coming to talk, you know, that's I've always been that kind of person. I used to work at Waterway, so it's a gas station car wash, and it was in Solon, so there was a lot of money out there.
Okay.
So my first time, I mean, when I really understood, I this dude was driving a Porsche Panamera turbo. And he's like, yeah. And he just gives me the keys. And he's like, yeah, you just pull it through. I got to do something. I got to take a business call. And I'm like, oh, my God. I just drove this thing for like 2 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Just, and I didn't even drive. I had it in neutral. And
that's a memory that you won't forget, though.
I promise you I won't. I remember how I looked. And to this day, that's one car I am trying to buy is a Porsche Panamera Turbo. Because I remember the feeling I had. The seats, the make of it. You don't lose something like that. And then when I talked to him, I was like, you know, what do you do? He's like, I'm a programmer. You know, I program for businesses, you know, across the country.
There's money out here, bro.
It definitely is. So living the life. Do you guys have family? Do you guys deal with the having money problems? I need 70 grand a day.
I'm starting to get that now.
Okay.
It's not really a problem for me.
Uh-huh.
But the thing that we have done very well, I must say, is we live so below our means in a lot of regards. A lot of people won't even know how much we made or make, you know what I mean? So a lot of our family, they have no idea how well we're doing. We'll go back to New York and lay down on the couch like we did when we were not making any money years back, you know what I mean? But I think I'm just like that personally. I just, you know, not trying to, you know, I feel like I've lost a lot more when I was broke.
Why? Why do people do that?
I think it's an image thing, right? I think it was an image thing because I've been reading some of the posts that I had years back, and I'm like, man.
Dumb.
What was he
just
talking about?
Just dumb.
What was he talking about? You know what I mean? But we started actually seeing some level of success. You know, that's when we went real quiet with it. So people started just seeing our lifestyle. You know, seeing that, oh, man, they're in Cabo again. You know, they're in this again. No, man. So now with you, Jerk, now everybody's like, all right, nah, hold up. Nah, these guys got this business, that business. All right, they must be doing something. So we're getting a little bit more, but I think it's a blessing when people can ask you for money, you know?
Talk about that.
I think it's a blessing. That means you have put yourself in a position where you can help. Not saying that you're always going to help, but to me, I feel like, why shouldn't they ask me? Ask me. Now, whether or not I give it to you is another story, but
interesting.
Yeah, it's like...
Because, and I've never... I guess I've never heard it put like that, but that's how you said it is like how I feel. I hate when I don't have money, and it's because I like to be able to help family.
Yeah.
My pops was going on a trip with his with some friends. They go on a trip every year, and he was like, you know, help your dad, help your pops out, and I did. Now, there was the conversation that we had after that. He was like, you know, I'm going to get, I was like, hey,
good.
You're not giving me that back.
Right.
I loved it to be able to help you.
It's a good feeling.
And it's not to say he needed the help.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's one of those, son, help me out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
throw
and,
a little bones up here.
Exactly. Yeah. And I absolutely love to do it. Same thing with my brother. Mm-hmm. When I can help, I'm in a great place. Because it's me. I don't look at it as I'm giving back because you did something. I look at it as the time you put into me is not a waste. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that for me is huge. You know,
that's my biggest motivation to have money, though. My biggest motivation is to help people more than anything else. Like, I feel like that's kind of where I saw my parents. My parents, you know, they weren't rich, but they surely acted like it, mm-hmm. you know, because they helped people all over the world consistently, and they still do, you know. And so for me, I always felt like, you know, if I have, of course, I want to have a good lifestyle, and, you know, we're moving to a nicer apartment, you know, that's going to increase our lifestyle. So, of course, I want that, my wife to be happy, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, to be in that position where you can give and help change people's lives, and, you know, that's a good feeling right there, man.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
Yeah. Man.
That's why we got to make some money, guys. All right.
Absolutely.
Get the money game up. All right. We all got to get our money game up.
What do you think life's going to be in 2021? There's people saying we haven't even technically hit the second wave of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I could tell you for a lot of businesses, I think 2021 is going to be a lot better than 2020 for sure. You know, COVID came out of nowhere. I think we're going to, we understand it a lot more. I mean, Ohio has been open for months now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cases went up. I think we're around like 800 a day or whatever.
Yeah.
In the whole state. But death toll is still down, down, down. Nothing really changed in terms of that. So I feel like, you know, they're getting a little handle of it. So I don't think businesses will take that hurt that we took this year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be different. I mean, I don't really know. I just know that we just got to continue working and pushing it, you know, and navigating throughout until we figure out what is going to come out of this COVID situation. You know, but I'm very optimistic for 2021, though.
Good.
We're going to open up UJERC Columbus next year. You know, we want to really take UJERC Cleveland to a whole nother level. We want to have a food truck. So I'm very optimistic about 2021.
UJERC Columbus. You heard it here.
Yeah. UJERC Columbus.
Nice. Any other restaurants or any like that you guys working on? Or ideas?
Not really personally. I know we're going to invest into some, but...
Can we talk about investments?
Yeah.
Because it's a very touchy subject with black people.
Okay.
It's a very gray area with black people, investments. Now, I'm a shoe fanatic. It's bad. Ooh, it's bad. I like your phone posits.
Those are fire.
You know, and but me, I'm the person, when I found out Cash App did the little investment thing, I'm like, well, if I'm gonna wear these shoes like that, let me put a couple dollars into it. Mm-hmm. So I invested on Cash App. It wasn't a huge amount of money. Like, I don't even think I have a whole share yet. Okay. But every check I just pinch off, you know, and just, because it's just one of those things, like,
play the long game.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I do that, but when I want to talk to some I just talk to somebody at my job.
What's your favorite sneakers, by the way?
Favorite sneakers? The Gamma Blue Jordans. I don't have them. Gotta look them up. Those are my favorite. I'm actually talking to somebody now about trying to cop them, but they're the Gamma Blue Jordans.
What number?
For some reason, I always can't think it. I think that they're 12s. I can't think of which number they are.
They retro?
Huh?
It's not these.
No.
I'm about to say. It can't be these.
I got them. I'm about to pull them up for you.
Since you like shoes, I'm about to show you. That was it. Do you like these?
No.
Yeah, these are ugly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's the 11s.
Yeah.
Yeah, these. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These are
those
my.
Came out. When did those came out?
Those came out 2000.
I remember I was kind of leaning if I should.
I can find out. I'm about
those
to go.
Those are fire, though. The 11s are the best Jordans, yeah. Period.
Yeah, bruh. Bruh. Yes. Those are my favorites, but I mean, I give much respect to the ones, yeah. Jordan 1s. Of course, you got to have yourself.
The threes.
Threes, a couple, you know, fours. I just got the University Golds that came out a couple weeks ago. Those are fire. So those.
We actually, I kind of came off Jordan this year.
Did you?
I started going into this black owned
sneaker
company called Sia.
Black owned sneaker company. Are they based out of Cleveland?
No, California. So, it's pretty fire, man.
He creates his own.
He creates his own sneaks. It's glow in the dark. Just the one that we just bought.
Oh, those are fire.
Yeah.
What's his What's the IG?
So these glow in the dark.
Sir.
Yeah.
What's his IG?
Sia Collective.
Sia. Okay, y'all. If you have time, go on IG and look up Sia Collective.
Yeah.
And you've bought them?
Sia. Oh, yeah. So I actually wore one pair last night.
Yeah, and then you bought me one.
And I bought her.
Oh, my gosh.
Because she wanted the glow-in-the-dark ones.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And those are fire.
You got a lot more stuff. I mean,
oh man! Now you guys have created an issue.
Right.
Yeah. So
I mean, they look good.
No,
like,
they look great. So I bumped up on him on the Breakfast Club.
Okay.
Okay. He did an interview on the Breakfast Club.
See, I wear these all day.
You know.
And he was on the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, he was on the Breakfast Club, and I was just like, "Yo, who's this guy?" You know, I mean, very inspirational.
That's such a hard industry to get into because, oh my gosh, bruh.
Yeah.
Yes, it's such a hard industry to get into because
right,
you gotta I'm mad at y'all.
Yeah, yeah. So this year it's been like I've been looking at like when is he dropping something. Then Jordan, yeah.
And you know what? You know what? We gotta do that. Not Jordan's black, okay?
Yeah, Jordan's black. Yeah, so I'm gonna support Jordan anyway.
Nike's not.
Yeah.
But we need to get into supporting our black people a lot.
Especially
get behind them.
Especially
if it looks good. These shoes are fine. You know what?
I'm
going to order these. No, I'm not. I think I'm about to order. Just because I know nobody has any of these.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I know he's dropping something today. So
I think
he drops every Saturday.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. So you just continue scrolling. You'll be.
Yeah. You'll go crazy.
You'll be like, okay, this guy is nuts.
This is ridiculous. And
he has the ones that change color. Let me give him a lot of press on this podcast.
Right.
Hey man, but see,
shout out to him.
Shout out to Sia Collective.
Yeah.
Bro, your shoes are fire. You got clothes too.
Yeah.
He this is fire, man. And that's the thing is, I would love to have him on here. It's gonna happen.
He's fire, man. He's a real deal.
Of course, they're sold out.
This one that it changes color as you walk outside into the heat. So, like as it comes out, it starts to change the sneaker. Let me see.
I think where the white is. Maybe the white changes.
It's taking a little too long, but see how it's starting to change?
Oh, wow. Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, there he goes. Yeah.
Dude, this is this concept is
nuts,
ridiculous.
So his number one thing is he feels like Nike's now starting to take a lot of his creative ideas. You know, but could they try to recruit him many times? But he,
have they?
Yeah, but he's, you know, he got such a good following now. He's
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, Shaquille O'Neal just bought his sneaks. I mean, yeah, basketball players are starting.
Who wouldn't wear those?
Yeah. When you say you're a sneakerhead, I was like, all right, I'm about to go plug another flag.
Yes, man. Because I'm not seeing, for some reason, it's not allowing me to see the costs.
It's normally around 200. Same thing like Jordan.
Okay.
Yeah, it's normally around 200.
Okay.
190, 200.
It's no, yes, I don't know why it's not letting me. Like, it's just showing those.
Yeah, because you have to wait until the next one drops. So it. But what sneaker sells out?
What if I just
under a minute?
I couldn't just go buy these.
No, that's coming out in December, 2020.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they're very exclusive.
Yeah, but you got to be ready for when he's dropping it, because it sells out.
Okay, but these. Oh, George Floyd tribute drops Wednesday, October 14th. Write I need to write this down. I'm going to be right on. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm about to do. These are fire. Man, thank you. You'll see me in them. I'm not lying to you.
Last night.
Man, any
we were talking about investments.
Yeah, that's because I
Laura's waiting to come on that topic.
You see how far gone I went. It was about to be a problem. Yeah. Talking about investments.
I was right there with you too.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Talking about investments, man. It is still such a great area. What's something that would make sense to the people who are ignorant of that? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you to invest your money. You're not getting it now. Why should somebody feel comfortable with putting their money into something that they don't understand? They don't understand what's the benefit of that.
Well, no, you should never put in something your money into anything you don't understand. So if you don't understand,
and we're not taught money heavy.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't understand what you're doing, then I mean, yeah. Learn first, or get with somebody that you trust that understands.
Yeah.
But you should not just throw your money out into anything, because then that's how you could lose money fast. I think there's different ways that you can invest. I was telling my managers just the other day that you'll be very shocked on how much you can get for $5,000. You know, there's a lot of companies that will give you equity just for $5,000, you know? And now you have 15% of their company because they really needed that $5,000 to go invest it into something or some product or some machinery or whatever that they need, you know what I mean? So, you know, you have those equity ones. You have, of course, the stock game. You know, U-Jerk was funded on an investment. We took two of the managers that we have in the company, and both of them together collectively invested like $42,000 into being partners of U-Jerk. And but that's obviously long term, right? So that's them getting their money back each and every year, you know, and then some, of course. So
we were talking earlier about the sales and understanding how much you get back, or you know, how you pay your people. How do you factor in the profits to what goes to you, and then making sure money is put to the side to give back to investors?
Yeah. So for us, the investors, the percentages is what is being paid out. So if you have 32% of the company or 30% of the company, then you're making 30% off the profits of that company. My job is to make sure that we raise the profits so that you are making back your money, and you feel like this was a worthwhile investment. So I would have to make sure that, you know, I'm constantly strategizing on how to give you back your money and then some, because if you make back your money and then some, guess what you want to do? You want to invest again in the future, right? You don't want to feel like it's, you know, I think the number one thing for any CEO that's looking for investors is to make sure that the investors are happy and get back their money, because you might want to open up Columbus, like I said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you don't want them to now be like, man, I still didn't even get my money back from this. You know what I mean? Or still not. So, I mean, of course, you know, they will have to understand that, you know, it's a business. So sometimes you go through the first couple of months of trying to figure out profits and figure out, you know, numbers and different things like that. But, you know, like, we love to invest into businesses because we kind of understand the business world a lot more easier. There's people that love real estate. They understand the real estate world. We want to understand it. We haven't put our time into it. But
I'm trying to get into real estate now.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you don't know how much you can do with like $5,000.
Yeah.
I was talking before you sidetracked me with shoes. I was talking buddy of mine at work. He works his job. He's been there for 12 years. He has $150,000 cash just in banks.
Chilling.
How do I get somebody like him to, you know,
invest?
But that was segueing into, I listened to this guy on YouTube, on IG. Oh my God, I'm hungry now. I listened to this guy on IG, the 9 to 5 Millionaire.
Yes.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. He talks about what he did for his first building, you know, $15,000 that he took and purchased his first building,
yeah.
Which was a percentage of how much the building was. It was like $150,000 or $130,000. They made it $150,000, $20,000 went to renovations and stuff like that. Well, on that, a month he was making like $4,000. But the mortgage was only $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so, I mean, he said he's had that now for 20-something years, and it has netted him, you know, over $1 million just off of that. And you know, so it's like.
But it takes courage, though.
Yeah.
It takes courage to do that stuff. Like, you're going to have to really just, you know, go all in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could also bomb in his face. And that's the beautiful thing. I see, like, most people take that as, like, you know,
End of the world.
But see, I think that's where the difference makers are. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. for me, yeah, nobody wants to lose, right? Nobody wants to fail, you know. But failure is a part of success. You're going to have to fail sometimes. You have to go through hurdles to get to where you're trying to get to. But I feel like that's where I come alive. I love to get back to the drawing board and figure out how to get this thing even further ahead than we are. You know what I mean? Like, I listened to this guy named Grant Cardone, and, you know, he was talking
Shouts out to Grant.
Yeah, he was talking about how this year was such a struggle year for him. But he literally hunkered down and said, all right, these are the things that we need to do to get ourselves back in the feet. This is not the time to cry over the situation, you know? I say the quote all the time, like, if the car is on the tow truck going down the street, it makes no difference crying right now.
Mm.
Like, you got to figure out how to get it off. Like, the criers are the non-entrepreneurs. You know what I mean? Like, because the entrepreneur mind is already strategizing how to get that car off. You know what I mean? We can't cry about it now. Like, it's done. So, you know, I think that's just the nature of business. Because you're going to make mistakes. You're going to have times where you probably didn't analyze things that deep. You know what I mean? That comes to the development of the entrepreneur to be more tighter and stuff like that. And the market is going to beat you based on whatever mindset you think you are or you mm-hmm. think, you know what I mean? So, but if you have that stick-to-itiveness to want to just push through it, you'll push through it. So if you're going to invest, I mean, like I said, you know, we're big on investing. Everything that we're doing now going into the future, even, you know, in the table solutions, new markets that we're looking to open up, we're looking to get investors that want to invest and make some money. And we can literally just show them exactly the plan on how they're making back their money. You know, Laura's mom invested into actually both companies this year, because we didn't expect coronavirus to happen to where so that was a big. But you know, we gave her 15% on her investment, so we send her money every Friday into her account.
Nice.
Until the 50% is up. You know, so it's yeah, I mean, it's all about investing, man. That's the real, you know, if there's anything that I can leave that is of some value, is the real way that you make it is money working for you or people working for you. Without those two things, it doesn't really matter what product or service you have. It could be the most amazing product or service. It's irrelevant if you don't have these two things working. And the number one thing that you should focus on is when you have people working for you that produces you a certain level of income, how do you let that money work for you? I want to send that money out and tell it to come back with some friends.
That's dope. I mean, yeah.
So that's what I'll say. So let the money work for you. Like if you got, you know, people save. Like I don't listen to anybody that just talks about save. Like, you know, the goal of saving, I was even telling my son this the other day, like, is to invest. Like that's the goal of saving. The goal of saving is to invest. Like you saving for a rainy day, the rainy day happens, now you have no money. Like it's, instead of having that money generate you a certain level of income every single month, you just keeping it there
to build residual income.
You know what I mean? Now that residual pays for the rainy day, and then you continue to have it after that.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah. You guys are dope, man.
Appreciate it.
You guys are dope. Listen, I want to talk again about some of these conspiracies and scientifical things. So we'll have to have you guys back on. Anything you guys want Cleveland to know, your people to know.
You can follow me on IG, Lajsley_, that's LAJASHLEY_. Again, Lajsley is a 100% natural vegan hair product company, and it's for all hair types, and it's safe for babies too because it's 100% natural and vegan.
Nice.
And then you can also follow U-Jerk at U-Jerk Nation.
I just did and got hungry.
Yeah, U-JerkNation.com. Not that com. But that's our website too, U-JerkNation.com.
Okay.
U-Jerk Nation on Instagram. If you're ever hungry, you got to come out, try our jerk chicken sandwiches. Try our jerk chicken platters. It's the best jerk chicken, I'm telling you guys, hands down.
Right.
Our Rasta Pasta.
Rasta Pasta.
Two Footprints for that. We're just going to make it popular for them. Bring it around the world.
Nice. Nice. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, man.
Thank
definitely
you so
been a pleasure. Well, I'm coming to Rasta Pasta.
Yes.
I'm not coming to Rasta. I'm coming to get Rasta Pasta.
Yeah.
I'm coming to you, jerk. You guys, so before you guys, it's a place where they can eat inside.
Yes.
And all of that.
Yeah,
we have a couple seats inside.
Okay. I'm hungry. All right. Well, listen, thank you for listening. Make sure if you're listening and you enjoyed this podcast, please do us a favor. Subscribe, like, comment, share, donate. Anything you can do to help out this podcast is much appreciated. And we will see you and talk with you soon. We out.